equals burn. The propaganda's a win, stress feeding on my tension. My countrymen, they love their fiction. Where's Parnell? This bay with good intentions.
Hi, it's me, the Hosk, and welcome to 1 of 200, the podcast about politics where everything is left, not right. Yes, you're wondering, why is the Hosk on here? And the answer is, Kyle has actually sacked Philip, but he wouldn't say it. All he was saying is, we've come to an agreement about a conscious uncoupling, a la Chris Whatever from Coldplay and Gwyneth Paltrow. Let's kick it.
Thank you, Simone. That's my co-host. How you doing?
How am I doing? I have to move house very soon, and I haven't started packing, so, you know, it's all in disarray.
Wonderful. We're also joined by PMAX. How you doing, PMAX?
Doing good. I've finished my moving, so I don't have to bother with packing.
Look, so much happening in 1 of 200 world, and also Philip, how's it going?
Good, mate. Kia ora. Ni hao, everyone. Let's roll.
Slightly packed schedule today. While it's very topical, Hosking absolutely going at Luxon live on air. Why did it take this long for anyone to call him out? Well, it's been 6 years that Christopher Luxon has just been flailing about the comms space, trying to talk to normal human beings, like a normal human being. And Mike Hosking finally became exasperated enough to try and media train him live on his radio station. What is going on? We need media training too, apparently, because what I've done there is I've left an opening for someone else to jump in with their thoughts, and two people have stayed on mute, and one person is waiting for the other.
Listen,
people.
I just talk about a bagel, okay? I can't be held responsible for how long it takes to chew. It may be a good quality one. We don't know.
I'm just fact-checking Kyle in real time. It's been 4 years. But yeah, it's pretty amazing that it has taken this long. And like people, long-time Hosk watchers, I don't think we'll find it that surprising, because he's more about the ideology than the individual, I think. Like he was trying to, you know, throw little treats to Luxor, and he was just not picking them up, right? And I think Hosking is a hooten in that head, rather the kind of broad right project succeed than any individual who's going to weigh down the ship, lead it. And there's plenty of right wing people kind of on that bandwagon, I think. Like a lot of the kind of longer, more clear-eyed, more sociopathic National Party people have always kind of talked down Luxon's prospects. And like, you know, Hooton, in just in open kind of conversation, has said he's not very bright. Like he's not an exceptional person. He's not a good leader. Like before he was leader, he was like, no, he doesn't have the skill set. He's gonna be bad, and he's gonna weigh down the project, which is true, right? And he has. So I mean, they were right. Have to hand it to the our favorite people on the right.
No, I don't think we do, because classic. I think we said that first. I think we're doing that bit first. So they actually have to hand it to us. That's my call.
So true. But it was pretty amazing. Like anyone who hasn't watched, or I think reading the transcript is even more impressive, because it reads like a skit, obviously. And like I think the thing to notice is how many opportunities Hosking gives him, because like he could have answered any of those 20 questions or something and come off as reasonable, but chose not to, right? Is honestly incredible. And the fact that the next day, like I'm not the first person to make this point, but the fact that the next day he was asked about it and he answered in one question meant that it wasn't like a deliberate media strategy. It was rank incompetence, right?
Yeah. The thing that I quite enjoyed about it, which just vanished from my head when I started talking, was the way that like it literally, you mentioned it reading like a skit. You could take that and put it into a repertory theater and people would not be able to distinguish it from reality. Like it's almost scripted.
It's the, you just need to say that you would fire him, and Luxon doing 20 words to not say that multiple times, which really struck me. But it's really
good.
What
I'd say is we're circling back to our divergence in expectations about where he should be meeting as a minister and whether or not there needs to be a restructuring as a result. Like stuff like that. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? It's the thing is, people don't like LinkedIn suits. Like they don't like, I was going to say people, but I don't think that the people on LinkedIn are humans. I think that they fill human shaped things, you know?
Yeah, barely. Like such as an online persona can be that, right? Yeah, it's given a little bit of permission to a bunch of other people to have a crack as well, apparently. Do we think we're going to see? I don't know. I don't think there's anyone who's going to actually try and like do anything about this. But do you think we'll finally see a shift among the politics and media class to being more critical of Luxon? Because, as Philip correctly fact checked me, he's been leader for 4 years. I was referring to before he was leader as well, just to be clear. But
Well, he's always been a leader, Kyle, whether of in New Zealand or of this country.
he's a leader of men and men only.
more in his community, of his family.
I think it's already happened, Kyle. Like, I think we've already seen that change this year. And it's just that journalists take a long time to kind of avoid the iceberg. But like we have already seen, and we've noted on this podcast in the past that it's become harsher. Like the criticisms of him have changed from broadly the kind of, oh, we need to get to know Luxon. We're still seeing some of that, but really only from the most kind of agitprop outriders like the Malpasses, who unfortunately are in all the top roles
It's
in
actually absurd that it's
establishment media.
the top roles in establishment media are the ones like still pushing the party line while everyone around them, including like the partisan right wing people like Hosking,
Yeah, fellow
are
travelers, right?
taking a crack.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I think we have already seen that. And because, as we've talked about extensively in the past, they find it a lot easier to attack individuals than systemic failures. So, of course, they're going to talk about the failures of Luxon rather than the failures of government or the failures of the National Party or the failures of their ideology, instead of talking about children being fed with essentially vomit in open boxes, we can talk about, why is this bald man bad at speak? Which is, I mean, it's true, but I don't get up in the morning stressed about that,
Yet.
Yeah,
Wait
but
till he's wait till you're waking up and he's leaning over you.
the thing about it is that I honestly, I is it possible that like Luxon was sort of an intentional sacrificial lamb? They knew that this particular administration was going to be so unpopular that they put this essentially malleable clay person in front of everyone as sort of like a tear this to shreds, not the
Yeah.
project.
I
They are
don't
all
think.
sacrificial lambs. Every single person in the upper caste of the right-wing project believes that every other person is not going to make it and they're going to be king.
Yeah, it's pathological, eh? While we
I
have Phoenix
was.
here, just for a short amount of time, I do want to get onto that hook that Philip gave us for school lunches, being our education correspondent. What's been your response to that beyond like the average human's response at seeing those horrific pictures?
Well, I mean, it's sort of been said to death. I think I've said it on the pod before, reflecting on school lunches before these changes. But like ultimately, school lunches are widespread around the world. They are not an uncommon occurrence. There are school lunches in countries that we consider wealthy. Japan and the United Kingdom have very wide-ranging school lunch programs. Sometimes those are like user pays, but the user pay is very low. Like I forget what the exact number for the Japanese lunches were, but it's a like $40 a month or something for 6 days of lunches a week. And ultimately, the point of it is looking at society from a wider perspective, being like, oh, okay, well, we can spend a very small amount of money on the balance of things to ensure that a rather large segment of the population is well fed and, more importantly, learning, so that when they finish their learning process, they have some useful skills and can find sort of like fulfillment in life. And we have the research to back that here in New Zealand. I mean, there's research overseas on the efficiency and effectiveness of a well-funded school lunch program. We had that here as well. I forget who in particular published it, but I remember it was published shortly before the changes to school lunches were made. And I think I recall David Seymour saying something to the effect of, oh, well, it's not facts about raw, like something to do with like kids eating lunches or something, like some weird quibble. It's like, oh, well, it's talking about all these holistic benefits, but not the actual direct benefits of like lunches on attendance or something like that. It's like, sure, it's great for the kids, but. And we've seen this really nasty heel turn, where before the rhetoric was, we can do the same thing for cheaper. and now it has changed into this really nasty, like, the povos should just take what they're given and stop complaining. Just eat the slop. I saw a particularly horrendous report on, I think it was some Gisborne schools were just given these like half reheated fish pies that were making kids sick. And it's just cruel. And one last thing, while I'm ranting, is this is the intended outcome. Don't let anyone convince you that this is sort of a teething problem or some kind of unexpected outcome. Like, anyone can look up Compass Group and what they do. They do the cheapest job to generate the highest profit. They're not about quality. And the intention always was to have these news reports on poor people having, or poor children having absolutely miserable lunches, and wealthy boomers and so forth getting to sit back and pontificate about how their parents should be taking care of them and all that kind of thing. It's all very nasty.
Which is a fucking horrific set of policy considerations, right? Like, it's the way that, I think Seymour this week was saying, I'd actually like, there are lots of people in the world who'd like 11 free buttered chickens. What wouldn't have seen, like, and oh, and what's the other thing you said this week? Oh, I'm actually hearing from lots of schools, but I can't tell you who they are because of privacy, which is just bullshit. Like, what? Nothing in the fucking world would stop him giving someone's name.
He does have to watch out because, I
Except
mean,
as ex-party presidents.
maybe the more legally inclined could help me here, but I was going through the Crimes Act and it looks like lying is technically under the Crimes Act, or like obscuring the truth. So with the citizen's arrest law changes, would it be possible to perform a citizen's arrest of David Seymour for
Wait,
lying
where are
to the
you
public?
looking?
Oh, I don't know. I was just going through it. It was next to perjury on the Wikipedia page. A reliable source, I'm sure.
You can just read the legislation itself, right?
Yeah, no, I don't
No,
want to do
fear.
that. That's too
Perverting
dry.
the course of justice, is that what you mean? Because
Potentially.
subsection E usually deals with what it's not lying, but it's in reference to, yeah.
It'll be within, yeah, within certain contractual
Under oath.
Exactly. I think there's a couple of like quite perverse kind of deliberate cognitive dissonances, dissoni, if you will, that David Seymour's kind of perpetrated here, right? Like, as you say, PMX, like the fact that he's pivoted from like step one, we can do the same thing for less, to step two, you can't expect us to do the same for less within the space of what, 6 months, without that seeming to be a massive blemish in the kind of cultural discourse. I think it's pretty disturbing. Like, the media has some kind of object permanence, surely, right? Where you can just say, look, remember a few months ago where you showed us pictures of like sandwiches and fruit and said, this is what we'll be getting for $3. Show us one instance where that has successfully managed to happen.
Remember we
Well,
showed up to your big event where you fed all the journalists the lunches you're going to get, and all of them gobbled it up from the trough and said, "Oh my goodness, David Seymour really is going to fix everything. Oh, we love David Seymour." No, they do have no object permanence, Philip. This is a
They
and David
do.
Seymour said,
"This is a 9.5 out of 10 meal. Delicious."
looks like he's going to throw up. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because you say that there's sort of no object permanence in the media, but they were really quick to report on the alleged shoplifting by Golrez at Pack n Save. So it.
Not even that. I just want to say, not even close to completing the elements of the offense. Just like she put something in a tote bag
She was shopping.
No,
while
ridiculous.
shopping.
And it's front page news on every single outlet.
For days.
Yeah, who could tell? Who could know that a private surveillance system put into the hands of the most like bizarrely slobbering deputies who have been deputized to like harass every single person of color in this country and are paid to do so, i.e. loss prevention officers or whatever they're called, loss prevention managers, who can know that that would go wrong and or cause some of them to try to extort people, try to sell information for money, try to give information to get clout, or just for any sort of nefarious reason. You know, there's not like any reason why we have any sort of public accountability, or we're supposed to have some sort of public accountability over surveillance, right? Like,
and that's why
a reason why the state has a monopoly on this.
That's why I'm really glad to hear about these new citizens' arrest powers that might be coming in, because I just
That's
love the.
right. Every time I see somebody, a loss prevention manager, using the Aura system in a way that I think is contrary to the principles of the Privacy Act, I will full flying kick them in the face.
And you're allowed. You're allowed.
I am gonna do the Steven Seagal judo chop and
yes.
like wrist lock special, the little Aikido flip.
What do we think about this though? Like, obviously, a fucking
I think it's
nightmare.
Great, Kyle. I think it's amazing.
Okay. There you go. The resident lawyer. It must be above board. I think one of the craziest things about it is that Goldsmith just comes out and is like, "Hey, we're gonna do this." Like, first of all, it's we're doing really well on crime. Like, we're hitting all the targets we said we'd hit. Oh, thank you to us, New Zealand. New Zealand, get on your knees. And we're gonna give. Because it's going so well, we're going to deputize everybody, especially Brian Tamaki.
I don't know how laws work. That's kind of clear from my earlier comment on lying and crimes.
Who does?
But how malleable is the Crimes Act? Like, how easy would it be for them to slip something extra in if they wanted to incite a bit of sort of popular violence against a particular community or group?
What do you mean? Like, it can be amended the same way as any legislation.
I don't think that's the biggest. The biggest risk is misinterpretation of current aspects.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, the average person has no idea what constitutes a crime, right? Like, okay, what do you think burglary is?
Going into a place and taking something.
Okay, going into a place and taking something. Sure. What is a place? Do you think?
No, I don't. Look, we're not going to do this.
We're not doing this live on air, Simone. This is going to take half an hour.
Okay. But most people don't know that it's not only entering any sort of building or ship. Yes, ships are included in this.
Hell yes.
But it's also an enclosed yard is construed as doing that. So if somebody has a yard where the gate is open, that may not be burglary. If they have a yard where the gate is closed, that... maybe a burglary, but there has to be intent to commit a further imprisonable offense. But it can be literally any further imprisonable offense, not stealing something. It is very, and that is a 10-year max sentence. It's so widely construed that if you have been trespassed from a pack and save, or from like all pack and saves in the country, which sometimes happens to people, or within the region, let's say, which is quite common, then if you enter that and they think that you're going to take something, i.e. do a gold riz where you haven't actually shoplifted anything, but they think you might have intent to do that, you can be charged with burglary for that.
Whoa, what the fuck?
Yes. The supermarkets do this now because, well, the supermarkets don't do it. The police do it. But I was actually told, like in person by one of the prosecutors, that the supermarkets have been lobbying the police to charge people with burglaries, and they strategically use trespassers to do that against people. And they'll use the Aura system to figure out if somebody is, you know, within the premises, right? So they'll face track them.
That's wild. And they could just be citizens arrested next time, right?
Yeah, currently the state is acting as an arm of Pinkertons for the supermarkets. But yes, that could be a situation where a security guard has said this person's clearly committing burglary because it fits, you know, the elements of the offense. And so I'm going to, again, fly and kick them in Steven Seagal Aikido, flip them over a trolley. And I'm going to plunge them 10 feet through the announcer's table during Hell in a Cell.
I think the other immediate impact of this has been that the announcement has empowered the far right. Like, they're immediately jumping on this. And it doesn't even matter if the policy goes through, right? Like, that effect has already occurred.
Oh, for sure. Sovereign citizens are going to be lapping this up.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of too. Like, of course, that's, you know, that's the abiding kind of libidinal impulse of the far right is... but I should be doing the policing, right? I should decide the state of exception, or however you want to kind of frame that. And yeah, of course that's dangerous. It's like it's drunk uncle central over here, you know. 20 bald dudes walking out of Pack and Save are going to see brown people and attack them, and either hurt them or be hurt themselves. And then, like, I think the first kind of wave of harm that happened, if that's the way that it gets kind of passed, which huge asterisk, is going to just cause like obvious harm in society and have to be reformatted in some way or have some kind of clear. Like, I think it's interesting how differently Goldsmith framed it to how Chris Bishop framed it, because Chris Bishop, you know, terminal debate bro, fellow, got to hand it to him, disease sufferer, was very like, oh, you know, reasonable force, reasonable expectations, blah blah blah, in very like painful language, which no one's going to hear and no one's going to fucking pay attention to, right? But he's doing that as he's putting a lampshade on that so that he can come back and go, look, I actually said blah blah blah. Whereas Goldsmith, the one who people for some reason think is some kind of intellectual, I think just because he wears glasses.
He wrote a book. He wrote a book.
Yeah, but when was the last time he said anything smart? What has he done for me lately, Kyle? Nothing. He's embarrassing. And all the books he wrote were just, you know, basically self-published autobiographies through a circuitous route. Like now that would be ChatGPT. It's embarrassing to, embarrassing to think of him as your like pet right intellectual. He's not a David Parker, which
He's
they
got
want to make
glasses.
it.
He's got glasses, mate.
That's what I'm saying. He's not David Parker. But anyway, he was just like, oh, we're gonna do this thing in a very like bald-faced kind of way, which is bizarre to me. Like, I think that is kind of the most interesting part about it, is that there's really no part of the coalition that the actual, you know, the institutional coalition that's gonna maintain this or fight for it to continue in any sense. So I think there's like a not insignificant chance that this is just kind of a flash in the pan push that goes away quietly at select committee when something bigger comes along, because it just there's no way that this could feasibly go through in the form that it's been performatively kind of pushed as without just massive like public disaster as well, which could only flow back on the government. And it just seems like, you know, if I was any kind of comm staffer on the right or an NZI nerd or whoever they listen to, I would just be like, mate, this is how you sink your coalition. Like, all we need is one person to be stabbed by a meth head because he was trying to shoplift something before an election, whatever it is, right? And suddenly that's like, oh, you like death? Is that the coalition of chaos and death? Like, what's your scheme here in terms of optics, right?
Well, I think that could be an intentional outcome, like social harm, social damage,
I mean,
deepening
this coalition
divisions.
is definitely like doing that en masse, right? Like, at some point, you have to say these aren't individual acts. This is like the overall strategy.
Even to an extent, like lowering trust in the government, because it's sort of like no real, like, especially the state the government's in at the moment, it's no real harm to them if people trust the government less. Whereas for Te Pāti Māori or Greens or Labour, if they want to have the political capital to halt, I don't know. I haven't really seen any big calls for reversal, or at least none that have stuck in my brain, like New Deal style reversal. But to do that, you need trust in the government. And if people think of the government as like, oh, aren't they the people who started the stabbing wars at the local supermarket? Like that lack of social cohesion. It also makes it harder for movements like Toitū Te Tiriti to sort of get off the ground, because that needs like solidarity. And if you're deliberately sowing these divisions, creating hatred between people, it's like an attempt to slow that potentially. Maybe I'm a little bit too sleepy in
No,
the
like
morning.
I think you have to at some point you have to make that leap, right? Like, and you know, get called a conspiracy theorist, yada yada yada. I don't give a shit. Like, we're seeing the outcomes of this. There's already an environment of stochastic violence in the New Zealand community, and we've seen that very recently. You know, last week's episode, we were talking at length about what Destiny Church was doing, attacking pride events. That comes out of the language and the environment that our politicians are creating. You know, this is what stochastic terrorism is, and it's really fucking irritating because I'll mention stochastic terrorism sometimes. I have half a dozen like media or commentator types going like, "What does it even mean?" You know, like that kind of Chris Bishop style. Like, is neoliberalism even a word? Yes, you cunt. And they know this. They know that the environment's like this. You know, they know that. That library in Te Atu was stormed, and children and caregivers had to barricade themselves in a room, and that someone was assaulted and concussed, right? Like a 16-year-old girl. They know this has happened, and then they are still going out and doing this stuff. And you just are not going to give the benefit of the doubt, and we shouldn't, but a lot of people are.
It's not the same situation, man. Like I agree on the former case that like that is a clear case of like just incitement to violence, right? Like, you know, to date of broadcast, etc. As far as I know, Brian Tamaki hasn't been arrested. But if laws were applied equally, of course he should be, right? And like that's clearly commission of a crime, I think. It fulfills all the elements you could imagine. Like that's how you pass on information to your followers that they should go out and commit violence on your behalf. And if any other gang leader did that, of course, that person would be like slapped in plastics, if you will. But like that's not the same thing. Like there's a difference between like social murder and actual murder, right? Like
No, for sure.
and the kind of low-lying like social degradation and harm that's inevitably the result of a decaying neoliberal state that has been like increasing over the last, you know, since the 90s. Like, but you can't say that's the same thing as tying something to like an explicit statute that gets passed saying this is the harm that you're allowed to do, with all of the kind of snowballing effects that that entails, and the kind of media push that that necessarily is going to take, right? So I think like it is going to be a difference in that this is a explicitly tied to this government. And I don't think people think of Big G government as an ongoing institution in the same way that maybe you and PMax are implying. I'm not sure. Like I don't think there is that kind of, especially in the PMC and the media class, I don't think there's this kind of Big G government treatment. Like maybe by the kind of precariat, there's a kind of understanding that we're getting fucked every day. And there's a kind of institutional weight against us, which, you know, they're right to think. But I think like by the grey lens set, or the kind of, you know, middle income occasionally watches one news set, it would be tied very clearly to the national government. And like the risk that that entails, I think, is just insane. Like that's why I say the only reason I can see it passing in its current form is if like if a huge it would be a huge mistake that could so on its own sink the entire government without all the other shit that they're already like instituting to do so.
Yeah, I mean that's why I
Thankfully.
see it as like potentially just a comm strategy, right? Like I don't think this passes, and that's what I mean when I say like they're just throwing this out there. This is, and I think the pickup, the outcome, the immediate outcome, with Brian Tamaki seizing on it and saying we're going to go after all these fucking perverts or whatever, and then like, I think just yesterday started saying we're going to arrest Jacinda Ardern and Chris Hipkins and also Luxon and Seymour and Winston Peters for like letting it happen. Yeah, just I don't know.
Yeah, frankly, I think this is a disappointing policy push from a Ngāpuhi boy. And, you know, I don't know why they've let him get away with it. Whoever his hapū is, come and collect him.
An old meme.
Sorry. Anyway, so if you wanted to know, like, what, just spitballing, again, this won't come to pass. If it does come to pass, or the, you know, whatever it is, I don't think that the Destiny Church set are. Have enough foresight to really make this happen. But if they did, then theoretically, if it was just, you know, the basis of reasonable belief or something that somebody is undertaking the commission of an offense, right? There are a lot of angles for them to undertake their agenda. Like, for example, unlawful assembly is a crime. So if you have like a protest against Posey Parker, you know, again, or some other transphobe who comes to this country, Destiny Church could reasonably say, well, yeah, we're gonna go down and kettle the protesters and beat the shit out of them, right? Like, this is something that they could believe they could do. Or alternatively, since we're on the transphobia train, there is, for example, female genital mutilation. This is the way that many people frame trans men getting bottom surgery. And that's in the Crimes Act. There is specifically a carve out for what's called sexual reassignment surgery in the Crimes Act, medical procedures or otherwise for various different reasons. But if you have a reasonable belief that somebody is committing an offense, they could say this with their whole chest, right? And they could undertake to, again, going and quote unquote citizens arresting people, either, i.e., just inflicting that violence on them. And it's not, there is a stochastic element to it, but it is, as you, I think, has been pointed out, acutely directed as well. And this is something where if they were clever about it, they could really do that and they could do a significant amount of harm with it
Yeah, and it's
because
not
there are,
just,
a
sorry.
number of provisions which would allow them to undertake their agenda, yeah,
And it's not
and
just
intimidate people.
the Destiny Churches, right? It's not just Brian Tamaki. The other week we had Stephen Frank sending a letter to a whole bunch of health providers threatening future legal action for giving trans healthcare. There is an organized, well-resourced, invested in institutions, networked group who are trying to framework this stuff, who are providing the impetus and the legal reasoning and strategy, and using the more aggressive, openly fascist groups like Man Up, like Destiny Church, as the point of their spear.
I mean, both our Prime Minister and our Minister of Health think that abortion is murder, right? Like, I think this is a lot closer to home than like probably a lot of people think about. And if you genuinely thought that, as I know the like middle-aged white men standing on certain roads, which I don't want to give the location of, maybe on a podcast, outside abortion clinics do think, then what's to stop them tackling anyone going into or out of those clinics? And tackling is a soft term maybe in New Zealand, but that necessitates an assault, right? So like we think of rugby when we hear the T word, but overseas maybe there's a less kind of soft implication to that. And tackling a pregnant woman could result in obvious physical harms, right? And then there's that it's a turtles all the way down situation in that, like, if I see somebody attempt or have, if I have reasonable suspicion, however this ends up, worded, of instigating that harm, then I'm justified in performing a citizen's arrest on that person and waiting for the police. And I just, if this was passed as is currently being kind of air ballooned, hot air ballooned, then I just don't see a way in which there isn't, social violence in a whole lot of tense situations currently, which at the moment are only kind of legally separated by the thin white line of legislation.
Well,
No,
and
and there's also, they say the left is grooming young people, trans people are grooming young people. That is a crime under the Crimes Act, right? And I mean, you've pointed out, so they could use that. Abortion, as you pointed out, was only, I think, under the Ardern government taken out of the Crimes Act, wasn't it? And so that's something which is still very fresh. For a long time there had to be this legal fiction where a woman would say, "Oh, I need an abortion," and then the doctor would have to pretend she's crazy or whatever to sign it off. Like this kind of bizarre sort of fictions that we had to create to allow people to undertake healthcare for women or for any pregnant person, And as you note, it is a kind of recursive concept because, yeah, an assault, for example, doesn't necessarily require that somebody actually hit another person, just that they have shown the intent and they could miss somebody. Like I could throw a ball at your head and you dodge out of the way, but that's an assault. And so somebody can come and arrest me for that. And then somebody sees them arresting me and then arrests them. And, there's
And
this absurdity to it. It's like, curb your enthusiasm, government.
this is why we need the Waikerea mega prism.
That's right. The entire country is eventually going to be, it's like the concept of the map that covers the territory because it's so detailed, in semiotics. And then eventually that withers away, but it's like the prison covers all of New Zealand and then there are no cities anymore, just
It's
prison.
all network states. Yeah,
Hey, maybe we're all a prison, man.
Maybe it's a panopticon. I don't know. Maybe that's
No
what Aura
way.
is all about. Yeah, anyway, bad. It all seems bad. It feels like stuff, as we've discussed, like on with all the things we've discussed so far to unravel the social contract, right?
Can I just, sorry, Carl, can I just interrupt for a second?
Yeah,
Like
okay, fine.
before we move on, like I think the mistake in letting the conversation be about theft is just like immense. Like this is the thing that I just can't wrap my head around. Like there's all the difference in the world between confining whatever it is, an amendment or however they're going to frame this, a new piece of legislation, whatever it is, to a certain set of circumstances that might have to be within a geo-specific location. Like within a shop, you're allowed to tackle someone who you suspect of doing a theft, like already bad, already wrong, right? But there's all the difference in the world between that and a broad-ranging increase of citizens' arrest powers that applies to everything in the Crimes Act, because as Simone said, no one knows everything in the Crimes Act. I've read the Crimes Act several times and I don't know everything in the Crimes Act, right? So like it is absolutely nuts, like beyond anything I've seen portrayed in the media so far, how broad-ranging this social harm could be. Like physical contact, depending on context, is obviously like a physical crime, right? Leaving Kmart, if someone asks to inspect your bags and you give an ambiguous response and they touch your arm and open your bag, am I meant to spear tackle the security guard and like hold her down, hold the small Chinese security guard to the ground until Duncan Garner and his anti-Kmart force shows up? You know what I mean? Like it opens every can of worms imaginable legally. Sorry, that's all I wanted to say is that like it's not about theft, right? Like I think they're allowing this to be a Sonny Kochel anti-theft conversation, and it's really not.
If we didn't have ACC, this would also open up a whole can of civil
Oh
litigation
yeah.
worms, right? Like everybody would be suing each other in tort.
It's fine. The health system's fine, Simone. Stop. We've got plenty of capacity. There are beds for everyone.
I mean, the ACC CEO is one of the few like health aligned people who hasn't resigned yet, right? Like, yeah, not looking good. Not looking good. I want to take us overseas. We've got a couple of international news things to rile people up with. First up.
Well, I was going to say before you do that, if we're going to leave New Zealand permanently, I have one very small item,
Oh,
which is
yes.
just that I saw a clip of Chloe Swarbrick saying like very reasonably good stuff, and it was on I don't know, Breakfast, one of those shows. Anyway, I think it was Jenny May Coffin who was asking it, and she asked Chloe Swarbrick, "Well, what do you say when people say, well, that's woke politics?" And I was like, "What the fuck is going on in television? How can you ask that sort of question? Are you brain dead? What? Isn't
Yeah.
that woke politics? I think they've already had a lobotomy, but if not, they need to be retired. Just
We've seen this, and we've
what
talked
is
about this on
going
the
on?"
podcast for 4 or 5 years. I hate this. I hate that we say this, and we're like, we've been saying this all along. Listen to 1 or 200 is where you get real news.
To me, this sounds like, and this isn't going to make sense to anybody who hasn't, like, heard a 4chan trend before, but like, saying like, isn't that a hundosing AGP thing to say? And you're like, wait, what? Like, it's just some bizarre, like, you're taking American 4chan language that's somehow filtered through to the Republican Party, and you're putting that as a question to a member of the Green Party in New Zealand.
Would you like
What?
a what if someone had a thought to emitting
Nonsensical
meme
construct.
that
It's
they
also for Jenny May Coffin to say that it's a construct which essentially just means black people are involved. Like, how rank is that?
Yeah, it's foul. And something we As I was saying, something we've been saying on here for a long time is that the fastest and most immediate and most dangerous radicalization has been among the media and political class. The parliament is far, far, far closer to fascism than your normal human being, than your average citizen. And media have gone right along with them. And that's why you're getting stuff like that. And they'll say, oh, no, it's just an important question because that's, in the discourse right now. Yeah, why is it in the fucking discourse? And why does that mean you have to ask it? Like, your
Whose
job is to
discourse?
inform. But no,
Whose
it's not
discourse,
anymore.
right? It's in your discourse because you're having lunch with the same people every day, you're having coffee with the same people every day, and those people are being paid by people who have money to pay them to talk to you, right?
I
I'm not
love
having lunch with those people.
disseminating information and discourse and then pretending that it's received out of the ether and not from other people who are also in my stratum disseminating the discourse, like, and or myself, you know?
I mean, no, it's no less embarrassing than the, well, I'm hearing on the doorsteps, blah, blah, blah thing that journalists mock every day from politicians, right? It's the exact same fucking mental formulation.
And to get like wiki editor on it, it's weasel words, right? Like some are saying whatever it is. Who is saying this?
Tell me,
can you cite anything?
What if Brian Tamaki rocked up to you and called that woke politics? No one gives a shit. Like, come on, do some fucking work, journos. Like, I mean, journos, presenters, I don't give a shit. Like,
the thing is as well, it's just a slightly veiled version of being like, you know, if you're an American, it's like, what if J.D. Vance said this is N-word thuggery? Like, what would you say to that? Like, you can't reasonably answer a question which is premised on something so, firstly, disconnected from the world, and secondly, which is an inherently oppressive framework, right, of understanding it. The entire point of woke is it's a thought-terminating cliche, which is meant to be a cudgel against people of color.
Yep.
This is the whole purpose of it.
And against anyone seen to associate, right?
Any sort of coalition among like subaltern people or otherwise marginalized people, right? Somebody who is counter-hegemonic in some way.
Yeah, it's really frustrating because now we're on this. You saw a couple of months ago, David Seymour trying to, like, he was openly talking about DEI, which isn't a real fucking thing here, right? Like, that is a purely American term within their employment framework, and it was being picked up by the Republican Party to do the thought terminating woke kind of thing at scale and directly impact what was happening in government there under Trump. And David Seymour was out here going like DEI, DEI, and any journalist who has self-respect should have gone, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, again and again, there are these pieces of terminology that almost no one in New Zealand knows what this fucking thing is, but media are so kind of, the soup is soaking into their bones. They're so surrounded by this miasma that they just go, oh yeah, that's, I know exactly what he means. So does everyone else. We're just, why would we challenge that, right? Like, we know what that's shorthand for. No, like, what do you mean? DEI. Tell me, explain to me what you mean by DEI, David Seymour. Like, it's a really easy thing. And he would fucking sit there and sputter and go, oh no, what I really mean, blah, 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 blah. And he looks like a fucking idiot because he is. But
yeah, I mean, he's talking about like the seven people who work at the big firms in downtown Auckland and live in Parnell and vote for him, right? Like, that's the real DEI community, quote unquote community.
Yeah, it stands for Deloitte, Ellerslie, and
Deloitte EY.
EY, Deloitte EY, EY and
something else.
Something else. If only Jenny were here, they could tell us.
Overseas. We're going to fly overseas, seeing as this is kind of overseas shit. Overnight, Trump screamed at Zelensky live on camera when Zelensky went to visit him at the White House after J.D. Vance broke into their conversation and started taunting Zelensky live on air about how he wasn't showing enough deference to Trump and he should be thankful that the U.S. is getting involved at all. It's incredible to watch the downfall of the American empire. That's all I've got to say to that. That's fucking hilarious. You fucking idiots. J.D. Vance is a little dirty griefer. Like, that's the kind of shit, like, you know, if you've been at a LAN or you, like, you know, played video games, you'll have one little fucking weasel in your party who's there just trying to wind everyone up, who's, like, needling people with the shittiest stuff, and you just, like, fuck up and you kick them out of the LAN or fucking pull the computer plug out at the wall and say, get the fuck out. But J.D. Vance is the deputy president. Like, incredible.
Deputy president.
Yeah, you heard what I fucking said.
That's New Zealand nationalism rearing its ugly head.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sick of this New Zealand.
Talking about, like, you know, the Luxon administration or something.
Yeah, look, it's a signal that the US empire is slowly fading. Because I don't even know, I don't care.
A signal that your senpai is slowly fading?
That the US empire.
Oh, okay. Help, my senpai is slowly fading.
Sometimes Simone
title of a light novel.
Just hears what you want to say.
Listen, I won't be judged on this platform of all platforms. Trump, like, this is backroom deals being set out in the open in front of reporters, and none of them say, this is the thing as well, like, Trump can mafia threaten people the way that Again, every president has always done in private and back rooms, but he does it in public and they don't care. And nobody will ask a question about it. And the Washington Post will pretend this is normal. The New York Times will move slightly more to the right in order to kind of get between them and the Democrats, which, as it turns out, given that the Democrats are courting Silicon Valley and trying to get Elon Musk on board again, is no distance whatsoever. Literally, Hakeem Jeffries doing that. Anyway, so Trump saying, and this is the best quote that I found in, from that video, is saying to Zelensky in a room full of reporters in the White House,
Live
"You
streamed.
have to be thankful. Be thankful to me. You don't have the cards." You can't say anything to that, right? He's asking him to get on his knees right then and there, right? "You have to be thankful. Be thankful to me." He says the sort of stuff that if I put it in his script, would just. It would not go anywhere because people would be like, no, there has to be some subtlety to this. You can't have like the big, powerful man in the dark room saying to somebody else exactly that, like, "Be thankful to me that you are alive."
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny.
You don't have the cards. We control your policy, right?
Yeah, the Godfather wouldn't have had its cultural impact if it had been written by fucking 7-year-olds, right? Like, it's embarrassing to read,
The whole
but
thing about omerta is that it works by suggestion. It's like, wouldn't it be a shame if, you know, this would have happened, or like it would be so tragic if this,
we've
whatever it
outgrown
was.
omerta, unfortunately. It's just
We
it's
don't
about,
have it
"Want a
anymore.
punch? My dad." No, it's not even "My dad can beat up your dad." It's like, I'll punch you harder than you punch me.
Sicilians don't say La Cosa Nostra anymore. They just say mafiosi. They just say it
It's fucking
because of
funny.
woke, because of woke
Because
DEI.
of woke DEI, it's
But
true.
actually,
There's a set like the open the first episode of The Sopranos where Tony Soprano's daughter or whatever like asks him, "Hey, are you in the mafia?" And he's like, "There is no mafia," except he's like, "Yeah, absolutely, honey, and we're gonna get you a Nepo baby. We're gonna get you straight in there, baby.
Hell yeah, also it rules, so.
It's cool. You should be thankful. There's the reason why that you have, you know, the special school that you're going to. The reason you can afford college is because I'm a mafia, okay?" Like.
There's no fade to black in the last episode. It's just fading to like riches. It's just like everyone became a millionaire and that was so happy after
Tony
one
Soprano is
season.
slowly getting dementia over the course of season
I
six.
want to write this, Simone. You want to redo the Sopranos?
What's really, really
Trump Soprano.
wild?
Only if I get to be called David Chaser.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. You can. All right. What's really wild about this is, you know, a lot of people, including us, were talking about Trump coming in and bringing like a wrestling approach, right? Doing the kayfabe, doing the heel turns, and this so far in this term of the Trump presidency, he just ripped it away. No kayfabe. Like, get on your knees. Like, pure American power politics. It's really just illuminating about how US empire works. He was you know, like some of this maybe I don't disagree with that much. It was like you're playing with World War III. Like, I mean, yeah, the Biden presidency literally was doing that. But then he'd be like, also the Hunter Biden laptop photos. Like, it's so cooked. It's
Yeah.
yeah, incredible. See you later, America.
I mean, it's refreshing to see like
Bye
naked power.
bye.
Yeah. It is refreshing to see that, and it's very funny to see all of the like rules-based international order nerds freak out about it. But like, that doesn't mean that he's not going to come back and throw the US full-throatedly behind Ukraine, right? That's
Yeah, who
the
knows?
like the real concerning thing about him is that like it's not, I don't think it's the like quote unquote sympathy with autocracy that the Robert Patmans of the world are most concerned about. Sorry, Robert, if you're listening. Not sorry. But like it's that there's no consistency, right? So there was no mention of his quote unquote plan for Gaza before the election, and like that has thrown a massive like cat among the pigeons. And how's that going to end up? We don't know. Like, it could be nothing. It could be everything. There, like millions of people could die, not just obviously not in Palestine because they're almost all they're getting as close as they can already. But there's like regional wars that could be set off. Like he's also playing with World War III, right? And in multiple ways, it's that he has no respect for the kind of like established institutional, like international established institutional discourse that is like set up as a kind of lingua franca in these international relationship discussions, and the fact that he tries to circumvent that sometimes achieves things that you can't achieve otherwise, but also very often sets up like new conflagrations that'll take years to appear, right? It's not like the first Trump presidency was like a bastion of American fucking, retreating and America firstism or whatever the kind of, what do they call, American primacists kind of want. Like MAGA international foreign policy, where they think there's some like strong line between isolationism and interventionism, just doesn't exist, right? Like, especially not in Trump. Like, maybe some of these people have actual principles, but none of them have any power. That's for fucking sure.
What's really interesting about this, or and also worrying, and etc., is that what's happening on the international stage is playing out alongside this completely just unprecedented domestic degradation of the institutions administration that allows the American state to run. And with intent, at some point, one of these things is going to break. And I just, it's bad for American citizens and for other people living in America and for everyone, as far as like international trade and supply goes. But you almost hope that before America does anything horrific, more horrific on the world stage, that there's enough of a collapse at home that they are stuck fighting domestic wars, whether literal or otherwise, because they are no longer able to govern themselves due to the incredible amount of institutional knowledge and function that is currently being stripped out.
And perhaps the only thing that's saving the world from total annihilation right at the second is the fact that China's CPC model of leadership doesn't really allow a Nixon to come to power. Like, the rationality of its succession of leaders since the Deng era began is perhaps the only reason why, given it's a nuclear power. Because if you were not so clear-headed and didn't have immense restraint, if you listened to what Trump was saying, if you paid attention to how US military is maneuvered, both in the first Trump era, to some extent during Biden's era, and with this present Trump presidency, I think you might push the button, right? So there's something concerning about the fact that we're holding it all on and hinging the entire world on a person who nobody outside of China has any sort of, ability to influence, or in some, or within outside the party structure itself, even to have some kind of public accountability for, right? There is something to, in a sense, be thankful for that, but it's also, this is not a world, a reasonable world, which should exist. And we often talk about existential challenges like global warming, climate change, as it's been rebranded by the PR companies, and so many other disasters that are confluent of and antecedent to that flow out of that, right? But the world still has nuclear arms. And there are still nuclear armed countries. One of them is Israel, by the way, which has the Samson option. Like, firstly, it denies having nuclear weapons when everybody knows it has it. Secondly, it will nuke the entire Middle East if it feels existentially threatened. And the culture is crazy enough for them to do that. They just don't have any sort of reasonable rationality right left. They're not rational actors anymore, if ever they were, because that's what happens with fascism, right? You sort of your whole intellectual capacity just rots from the inside out, and then the lunatics run the asylum, to use probably an outdated sort of phrase. But they still have them, and other countries do as well. The United States does. I mean, there was this huge song and dance that Democrats made in the first Trump administration. Well, not even during the first Trump administration, in the lead up to it, because all they want is your vote. They don't actually care about doing anything once they've lost your vote, because they can just fundraise again, right?
No,
And be like, abortion's under threat.
the current Democrat strategy, like being pushed out by the outriders, is it's time for Democrats to do something brave, roll over and die. Like,
They're going to do
literally.
something they've never done before. Raise money from
Stop
billionaires.
fighting. Yeah, it's actually insane.
Oh, they're mad at the, there are all these non-governmental organizations, like charities, quote unquote, which are, not nice organizations, and they're all just like Democrat flackies and stuff. But even they have lost patience, and they're like, and now Democrats within Congress are like, how do we just like get rid of these people and jettison them? They're so annoying. They want us to do things.
I'm sick of these capital G groups telling me to do stuff.
Oh,
What do you
those are
mean
special
group?
interest groups, by the way. Like
Yeah.
not, you know,
Not
not
regular interests.
corporations.
Yeah.
Those are those, that's national security. Business interest is national security, but special interest groups are like, please don't overturn gay marriage.
I want to bring this back to New Zealand's relationship as well, because there's a recent bit of
Well, I'll
information
just
that came
close the
out. Oh,
loop
yeah.
on what I was saying, which is that, before the first Trump administration, the Democrats made a big song and dance about, hey, this is a man, the Cheeto in chief that you want having access to the nuclear buttons, and then they just didn't care when he was in power. And again, this is happening again, and it's just, I mean, Biden shouldn't have been either. He was senile, and this continues to be a concern, but it's something that I think people have kind of forgotten about.
And we've got like reports coming out now where apparently US officials have told their British counterparts, if you are deemed to not be doing what you are told, you will suddenly find out missiles won't fire and planes won't fly. You have got to be careful.
Well, it's true. I mean, that's true, right? The UK Trident system relies on US maintenance,
And
which is
it's
something that if you said that even like 2 years ago, you would have been called a pro-Russian conspiracy theorist.
Which we were, by the way.
Yeah, sorry, as someone who was called a pro-Russian conspiracy theorist for saying that, it doesn't seem great to have both, a dystopic nuclear arsenal and also one that can only be the existence of which can only be facilitated by the hegemon. Like, that kind of seems like the worst of both worlds, right? Like, how does that work on a geopolitical level? Which, yeah, I mean, it does. This does feed into New Zealand's like interoperability. I'm going to
Yeah,
say
exactly.
crisis.
Which we're talking about like under Ardern, years and years ago. And it's
We
the
were doing
same in
interviews about this years ago.
Germany and Europe, other parts of Europe where they've got the F-35s or got other military systems which are made by US companies and procured via or with permission of the Pentagon. This is what interoperability means.
Yeah, and
Like,
usually third hand once its useful lifespan has been expended and they need to, either chuck it on a junkyard or sell it to New Zealand for new cost, right?
And then you have like the fucking subscription cost, like for maintenance, right? Like, and then they can just turn around and say, oh, you can't be defended anymore because you're not doing what we said.
I mean, to bring it home to like New Zealand audiences who don't read a lot about defense spending, like imagine you buy a secondhand van from a tradie. But it can only run on fuel that he sells. After he's run the van for 10 years and taken all of the tax write-offs you can from it, it's down to zero valuation, right? Like, does that seem like a better investment than buying a van that you can run yourself when you choose to run it? Or does that tradie somehow suddenly control the next 10 years of your life? Because, like, that's kind of the path that we've chosen. Like, just on
That's
a
what Pillar Two
defense.
of AUKUS is, right? Which everyone's been talking about. Oh, we need to join this and like work with our natural allies, whatever the fuck that means.
I mean, that's true, but also, like, I think at this point, AUKUS has started to cover all manner of sins, like, as a longer running kind of foreign policy slash defense kind of nerd. Like, I think there's much bigger concerns than that. Like, pretty much every party in government, or all the parties that will make up, like, definitely both the major parties, let's leave it at that, have said that we need to substantially increase our defense spending over the next decade. And, like, ships are all going to need to be replaced over that time. All of our, like, substantial navy and their capacity needs to be something that we are really like seriously thinking about on the left, because like what we can do is going to feed into what we do in the next 10 years in geopolitics. And I don't think there's enough of a joined up conversation between the like defense nerds talking about what is our current capacity to do stuff and the geopol nerds talking about what we want to happen, because like that link is going to mean so much to us in the next 10, 15 years. Like, if we replace a frigate with something that can only be combat interoperable with the US and Australia, what do you think we're going to be doing in 15 years, right? If anything happens combat wise in the Pacific, and we're like, lest we forget, like one of Ron Mark's actual good points is that like we're legally responsible for what, 11% of the Earth's surface. Like, a lot of the Pacific Ocean is our backyard, according to us, right? So what does that mean? Like, what responsibility does that entail? So, and we don't spend a heck of a lot on defense, but then a lot of countries in the world don't. So what does that mean? Like, what format should our quote unquote defense force look like? Because every time they're pushed into a corner, they talk about readiness for natural disasters. Like, is that the organization we want responding to natural disasters? Really? And if so, like, is that what they're geared up for? Or are they geared up to shoot Chinese people when they land on Pacific Islands? Or, you know, worse still, have World War II battles in open fields that we will never have to face, right? There's some embarrassing kind of throwback ideology in the Defense Force, but that's a new conversation, I guess.
I'm just imagining a false flag attack by the Trump administration against New Zealand to get us to join AUKUS. And it's like 9/11 2 aimed at the Sky Tower, but because the pilots are not woke DEI, they crash before they get there. They united 93 just because Boeing has failed to employ any engineers.
No, I mean, what do you think this Chinese live fire practices for us to shoot the Sky Tower down?
The sky, actually, it's a kaiju movie where the sky towers become sapient and sentient.
Sky Tower versus Chinese battleships, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, the
I
current
kind of have a heart out very soon, so.
all good. The current government has increased deployments to Korea, which I think shows where their kind of priorities are, right? Like we don't they are saying that we're not well funded enough in defense, and that like there are all these concerning like, oh, it's such a dangerous world, but also the deployments they're talking about increasing are Korea and Ukraine. So like what century are we living in, guys?
Yeah,
Like,
while the Pacific Islands are looking to China, right?
yeah, which like I don't know what you expected. Like you're basically handing this platter to the rest of the world. And like I think it's become almost another like thought terminating cliche to talk about alongside rules-based international order to talk about an independent foreign policy. Like that's something that we've talked about a lot in the last few years, but like I don't think that's enough anymore because like independent meaning what, right? Like
Yeah, agreed.
also these MFAT nerds talk about an independent foreign policy, but then they say, and that independence means we should cozy up to the US, a dying, like a decaying fascist empire, which, you know, is going to thrash out before it dies. Like it's a, you know, it's a fucking dying like eagle with both of its wings cut off. Like it's going to hurt someone, right? And I just don't, you know, there's no reason to believe anything that Trump or his administration says, but until we see massive cuts in defense spending, that threat level is only going to increase until the empire like eats itself from the inside.
Well, once again, another incredibly optimistic 1 of 200 podcast. Any final thoughts?
Oh, I never have any thoughts.
There are too many thought-terminating cliches. We're done.
I would love to be an international relations student right now. I got my degree too early, I think, because it would just be fascinating trying to square a lot of the, or like political science, to square a lot of their kind of theories and frameworks for the world now and all the textbooks when they make no sense anymore. Like the kind of mythologies built up around Western politics and Western international relations just doesn't make sense. It's nonsensical,
I'm
right?
allowed to say this because I taught IR, but you don't want to be doing IR because you don't want to be around the fucking freaks who do it. Like it's such
Well,
a
yeah.
cesspit now. And like IR here has got worse and worse over the last 2 decades.
Well, yes, I think I noted that a friend told me that one of our former lecturers at Victoria University Wellington was let go because there was suspicion that she was a Chinese spy. Why? Because she like was a Chinese national. That's
Yeah.
it.
Really
It's
dirty.
just and none of her colleagues stood by her as well. They were like, you know, in hushed whispers about, oh, maybe there was a spy among us. Doing what? What possible access does a fucking international relations lecturer at Victoria University of fucking Wellington have to do with our defense industry? What are
No,
you
no.
talking
They were
about?
using the Chinese mind control beam on the students who would then go into MFAT and take our policy.
I mean, that kind of stuff just like, first of all, disgusts me on a personal level. But secondly, as well, you're just getting rid of anybody who has some sort of perspective which isn't so narrow and blinkered. And what's the point of that?
I mean, that's how we got here, right? Like that exact like narrowness of focus is just it's embarrassing. And it's like this is how you don't forge a smart NAM kind of way, not aligned movement kind of way, is by having that kind of blinkered attachment to the last 50 years, 100 years of like foreign policy. My foreign note is foreign note, final note is like imagine you're in the dying days of the Soviet Union and learn Chinese. Like what else are you going to do? Acknowledge the reality of the world right now, right? What are you going to be doing in 10 years that you won't need Chinese for? Because I can't really think of much.
That's been another episode of 1 of 200. Thank you to my co-hosts, Simone, Philip, PMax left halfway through, in case you missed that. You did, because we didn't acknowledge him leaving because he just turned his camera off. Like, share, and subscribe.
Yeah, ka kite or whatever it is John Campbell says.
If artifices are denied, live in a pointless life, but learn in all your lessons from your politics. There's no distinction the words upon now. It's paid with good intentions. And I'll admit that I'm at a loss for what to say when they criticize a cost me ought to stay. Cause I live amongst the people every day. This vindictive, forgetful fucking rain. It feels like we're on the road to hell.